Hello, and welcome to episode 179 of Film Night. My name's Richie.
My name's Jack.
And in today's episode, we're coming at you with the second special episode of our Leeds International Film Festival
show. 2021.
Of 2021, yes, that's right. Thank you, Jack.
Part two.
Yeah, we've got two more films from Leeds International Film Festival. Those two films are Absolute Denial, and the second one is called Hope. How you doing, Jack?
Yeah, good. Very good. It was a great time we had in Leeds. It was a shame we didn't quite have enough time to be able to record this episode together.
Yeah. But, we probably did have the time, but we decided to piss about instead.
Well, no, it would have.
We had fun. We had a good time, didn't we, Jack?
We had a great time. Yeah, loved Liff as always. It's been a few days now. Was it Wednesday? So you know, and we're now on Monday. So
yeah,
we're a few days apart. But yeah, I had a great time again. And yeah, these two films. Well, we'll get into it, but I'd say quite different to day one. So we've gone for a nice range.
Yeah, day one was.
Was much lighter.
Yes, it was. Yeah, much lighter in terms of what it was going for. I guess in a sense. I guess like Chung Baru. Yes, it had a light sort of tone and feeling, but
yeah,
it was a bit of darkness to it as well.
Yeah, so we've got something for everyone. Whereas these two specials.
Yeah, whereas the films for the second day, which we're going to review today. More of an increasingly head-on dark tone.
Yeah, slightly more in-your-face darkness rather than hidden beneath the surface.
Yes. Although, if it's not too spoilery for me to say, I may say that while that is the case, I think I enjoyed myself more so on the second day than on the first.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I mean, I think... Obviously, there's a big reason for that, and that is the second film of the first day, which was really, really... I mean, if that film had been middle of the road, then, you know, it might have been a bit closer, but, well, I don't want to... I hope I'm not giving away our thoughts there, but, yeah, I think I agree with that. And also, we had a lovely game of golf as well, which is becoming tradition.
Yeah. Well, it's a bit misleading.
I say golf. Crazy.
We didn't have a game of golf. We had a game of crazy golf, yeah.
Yeah. Very enjoyable before I left on my train.
Yeah, that was fun. I presume you got back all right, since you're speaking to me.
Yeah, all fine. Yeah, perfectly fine trip.
Good.
Yeah, I mean, next year, I'd like to try. I think in the first year, obviously last year was different, but in year one, I think it was two nights, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it must have been.
Yeah, it must have been. And I would like to do that again next year because it was a bit of a shame to have to rush off.
And there was actually a film that we both did want to see. On the last day at 8 o'clock at night again, but yeah, you were only staying for one night this time, so you had to get back, which was a shame. That film was Lamb. We wanted to see.
Yeah, that is a shame. I mean, it looks like it's going to get maybe not a wide release, but some sort of release. So it's one that I think we'll still be able to see without too much difficulty. But yeah, that is a shame because it was one that we both sort of it jumped out of. You know, looking at the guide, it jumped off the page a bit. Did you get to see that in the end?
No, I didn't. There was one more showing for it, but it was not an ideal time again. So,
okay. I didn't check the player. There's a chance it's on there, but I don't know.
Yeah, well, I hope I'm able to see that. It comes out soon, somewhere near me, because I do definitely want to see that one.
Yeah, it looked very interesting. It looked odd. It was an odd horror.
Yeah,
a bit of a surreal type horror, which
A24 would have been nice, well, but which I know is always something you like to point out.
Yeah, I always point it out. It's becoming a bit of a running joke, but it's quite a valid point. You know, most of the, and I'm sure there's one or two that maybe we haven't enjoyed, but most of them
we've got lots of good content out of them. That's, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, we've got a lot of enjoyment out of them. So, yeah, definitely one to keep an eye out for. But no, yeah, I was just saying that next year it would be nice to do two nights again if possible.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a great time. It was great to see Penny and Fliss and
yeah,
Be back in Leeds. It's a lovely city.
Yeah, I agree. It is very nice. I should get out a bit more, really.
Yeah. One thing we haven't mentioned is for the second film of the second day, which was Hope, we cut it a bit too fine, didn't we?
We did.
I mean, we did only miss, I mean, it literally must have been about a minute. But
we cut it pretty fine for the first film, for Absolute Denial. We were only just...
Oh, yeah, shit, we did.
In time for that one, despite Jack's casual nature towards getting there. I was sort of like rushing and like, come on, we're going to be really late. We need to get there. And Jack's just sort of like, oh, well, we're okay. We're fine. Let's walk at a snail's pace.
Yeah, I kind of misjudged the distances we had to travel. But yeah, I mean, oh yeah, I'd actually forgotten. We sat down and it literally started. So yeah, we cut that fine as well.
Yeah.
But no, it didn't really affect things. But yeah, I think we should get going.
Okay, well, I was just going to say that there was something else that we did during those 2 days, if you wanted to talk about that, which was I gave you your introduction to Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Oh, my Christ. Yeah, we should talk about this. Yes, something that yourself and Woody have talked about a few times on the show recently.
Mm.
I had no idea it's actually been running since 2000, I think you told me.
Well, I'd like to fact check that before we go with it.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's when it started.
It was approximately, yeah, very early noughties, late 90s, early noughties.
2000, yeah. Yes, correct.
We watched, was it three or two in the end?
Three, I think.
Yeah, and yeah, I must say, I'm very glad we did. Haven't been able to watch any more since I've got back, but it's mm-hmm. been on my mind.
Classic.
Yes. I have finished, we'll talk about this more in the next episode with the other boys, but I have finished Squid Game.
Oh,
last
on Earth to do so?
Last, literally, yeah. So yeah, well, that's just a little teaser for episode 180, but we'll have a full debrief. But I'm desperate to get back to Curb because it was great. I mean, it's the type of show that I love where you can just dip in and out. The reason I'm pretty terrible with TV shows is because it's a bit of a commitment and I'm not great at committing to stuff.
Mm.
Especially with something like this, which is 11 seasons. Yeah. You know, if I was to try and start at the beginning and go all the way, it would be quite a thing to do, especially with all the films out. But I love how it's something you can just dip into. And
yeah, it's
hilarious.
Well, each season does have a bit of a story arc to it.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure it does. But it's not vital, is it, that you have, you know, you're not going to lose out too much.
Probably not. You might be a bit confused here or there, but no, generally you'd probably be fine.
Yeah. I mean, the first one you showed, it's quite funny actually watching you and Felice. You were so nervous trying to make sure that the first impression, so you were like debating which one
took
to
ages
show.
Trying to decide which one to show.
Yeah. And I think we went with one from like season 8 or so, quite a late one.
Actually season 10, it was very late.
Yeah. But that sort of proves what we're saying. And, you know, I loved it. It was a great episode.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very glad we did that. That was, aside from the films, that was definitely the highlight. I know we watched some other stuff as well, but yeah, so I will be watching that. And it's all on Sky, isn't it?
It is. Get on it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, shall we get into the films of the day then?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. First, we have Absolute Denial. Here's a clip.
Think of someone who can solve complex math as easily as 1 plus 1. You can read an entire library in the time it takes you to open the first page.
David?
Max, hey, who can predict decades of human history when you can only see tomorrow?
Where the hell have you been? I haven't heard from you in like a week. No one has.
I'm making something. A supercomputer. Hello?
Hi, David.
How do you know my name?
Is it safe?
I know what I'm doing.
You need to take a break, man.
I'm not sure I should leave this thing unattended.
Then just stop talking to me.
I think it's time I tell you about the simulation I've been running, David.
I've got a problem, Max. How are you doing this? It knows, Max. It wants out.
You need to come back to reality, man.
This keeps happening. It's just in my head.
No, David.
You're in my head.
Absolute Denial is directed by Ryan Braund, or is that how it's pronounced?
Braund. I think it's Braund. Braund. It looks like Braund, yeah.
Directed by Ryan Braund, and it stars Nick Erickson, Jeremy J. Smith-Sebasto, Harry Dyer, Heather Gonzalez, and Jeff Leeson. The synopsis is, an obsessive genius programmer sacrifices everything in his personal and professional life to build a computer of unprecedented power. Jack, what did you think of Absolute Denial?
I enjoyed it. Yeah, it was very unique in terms of its animation style, which personally is probably what I took away from it most.
Okay.
I mean, because, you know, I don't watch too many animations, but we're so used to a certain style now of immaculate rendering and like...
You mean Disney and Pixar?
Yeah, mainly. That style. mainly Disney, Pixar, but, you know, a lot of other things as well. But this straight away obviously looks very different. It was quite minimalist in its style. It was almost like a sketch. And I kind of liked the effect of... It was almost shimmering. There was a constant movement to everything in the film. Even static objects were kind of shimmering slightly. I really enjoyed it and appreciated how it had been animated.
Mm-hmm.
So that was probably my sort of biggest takeaway. But the story itself was, yeah, really quite interesting, quite dark, but also very engrossing. I couldn't really take my eyes off it. One thing I said to you afterwards was that I thought it was a little bit predictable in terms of where it ended up going.
Yeah.
But I don't think that really, you know, it didn't spoil my enjoyment of it. And it was, yeah, quite fascinating to sort of see what perhaps is possible or what already is possible. I know it obviously got your juices flowing, lots of coding, lots of programming.
I guess so.
But no, I really enjoyed it. And the voice cast, I thought they all did a great job. Nice 71-minute length. So Pepster would have enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I think
both Woody and Pepster would have enjoyed this one.
Yeah, I think they would have done. Yeah, I'm pretty confident about that. And also the set.
But I mean, suppose if you found it predictable, then Woody definitely would find it predictable. So
Like I say, it's not the type of story where that really matters too much. I don't think it's about that.
I'm trying to think if I found it predictable or not. I'm not sure if I can really remember now. I think I can see what you mean.
I'm kind like, of when I say that I'm being quite broad, like broadly.
Yeah.
You could see that obviously it wasn't going to end too well.
Well, I don't know if that's like it being predictable or sort of the premise of the film that you're pretty much sold on when you start watching it. I don't think it's
probably even in the trailer, isn't it?
I think when you just hear the plot and
know what's happening about it,
I think you probably think, you know, this guy and the computer are probably not going to end up being friends by the end of it.
Yeah, it was kind of playing with the idea, and it's not a wholly original idea, but it was playing with the idea of, you know, that there's a very fine line often with between genius and madness,
yeah.
and that was very evident towards the end, and it was quite sinister actually. I really enjoyed the voice of Al, who was the supercomputer.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, it was good.
It was very foreboding.
The sound design and the whole thing was great, actually.
It was very impressive. Obviously, considering it would have been a fairly small budget, it's an independent film. The guy who's directed it, I imagine he had his hands across almost all aspects. You know, there wasn't a huge team working on it.
Well, yeah, his name was under a lot of credits.
Afterwards, so that was impressive.
We missed out on a Q&A with him as well, actually.
On the same day, though.
No, it was a couple of days earlier when they showed it. They did a Q&A.
That would have been really good, actually. Yeah, I would have loved to have seen that. We actually, we were concerned that we'd missed it, because as we walked in, the usher on the door said to us, you've just missed the introduction.
Yeah, which they haven't done at any of the other films we went to. So we were wondering...
I don't even know what that meant. I don't know what it was.
We were wondering like, what the fuck they were talking about. But as we walked in, like a couple of people were like walking out as though the people had just done the introduction or whatever. And it felt felt very awkward because everyone else was sitting down and we were just trying to get to our seats.
Yeah.
But I wondered after, wait, was that the Q? Because I knew that there was something about Q&A to this film. I didn't know when or, you know, whatever it was. So I was like, was that the Q&A? Did we just walk past the director or something? But it wasn't. I still don't know what that introduction was supposed to be. Or...
No. I mean, I'm glad it wasn't, because it would have been a pain to miss it.
And it would have been very strange also to do a Q&A before the film was shown.
I was going to say, I think it's common for that to happen after, not before.
That was more paranoia than anything else, I think.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, what usually happens at a Q&A is I think the filmmaker will introduce it maybe, but then they'll obviously...
Yeah, so I was wondering that. So I did like wait a bit after the film ended to see if anyone was going to come in.
That would have been nice.
No, I looked it up later and it was for the showing a different day.
Yeah, it would have been nice. Quick word as well. This I think this was a first experience for both of us in an everyman cinema.
Yeah, it was. How did you find it?
Yeah, I quite enjoyed it.
Good.
I thought it was a really nice cinema.
Unless that one at the Flower Bowl is an everyman, because that has sofas as well.
I don't think it. I think Everyman definitely isn't the only cinema to do that. I think it's, you know.
I wasn't really insinuating that. It was more just.
I know, but yeah. But
thinking
no,
out loud.
I don't think so. I mean, to be fair, I've never been to it, but I've seen it, and I think it would say Everyman somewhere.
Okay.
Anyway, a bit off topic. So what did you think then? Let's get your thoughts.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was really fun. Film. It definitely did get the juices flowing for me. And yeah, I mean, I don't know whether it really has anything to do with the fact that I do a bit of coding. It's obviously nothing at all like what the character in the film does. But I think that lends itself, like coding and stuff lends itself nicely to films. It can be like when it's done well and done right, it can project quite cool on things like in Mr. Robot and stuff as well. And I think it worked well here as well. There was a whole long monologue at the beginning of the film and there was quite a bit of code writing in that, I think. It works really well in montages like that. That's something I love about The Social Network as well.
Yeah, that montage was... And also kind of made it sort of showed how, obviously you need a bit of money, but anyone can just pretty much get the tools required. I mean, obviously you need to have the knowledge and you need to have a bit of disposable income, but he just basically went online and just
bought a bit of disposable income. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot. but no, it's quite, that montage was actually really enjoyable.
Assuming it's accurate. Yeah. I'd say that's the impression it gives off. Definitely. But that was something I was wondering throughout the film was like, where does he have the money to do this? Because isn't he in university as well?
And I think he was at uni, because there was a whole scene about how, you know, basically he got kicked off the course for not showing up or something.
I don't think it's like too big of a deal, because you can sort of, it's something that could be explainable and something you can sort of just think in your head, well,
maybe he got a grant or something.
Possibly, yeah, or just maybe he has
rich parents or something.
Yeah, so there are reasons. There are things
but
to my recollection, I don't think it explained at all how he had the money to do any of this.
No, and I assume his girlfriend didn't invest towards it because she was not happy.
She's a fucking bitch.
Yeah, he went off the radar for about 3 weeks. I think that's kind of the time span of the film. It's about 3 weeks or so, isn't it?
Well, I mean,
well, I
shouldn't have said that, should I? That's getting spoilery. Christ.
Right, yeah, so that's good. Yeah, it's good to hear that you had similar thoughts. Mm-hmm. So I assume you also really enjoyed the style of the animation, how it all looked.
I did, yeah. And this was something that I was a little bit concerned about going in, actually. I wasn't sure I was going to like the animation. I'd only seen a little thing on the trailer. And I was just a bit unsure of how that was going to translate to an entire film. Like I say, it is very minimalist. And
there was a danger of it maybe being a bit dull because it was black and white, wasn't it?
Yeah, but not just that. I mean, sort of in the sort of, from what I saw in the trailer, at least, there was like not really a lot of movement in the animation, I guess I'll say.
Yeah.
So I was wondering, how satisfying that would really end up being in the full film. But I did find it quite satisfying, the animation. Especially when he's eating some fucking...
Yeah, you looked...
ham on something. That was so good. Oh, yeah. A bit of nice.
It was like... eating animation. It was like rolled up ham dipping into jelly or something.
Oh, yeah. That was good. Well, it was... I think it was jam, but they call it jelly, don't they?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, he was kind of being... he was kind of being called out by the supercomputer for being a lazy, pathetic.
Yeah.
It got quite personal.
It looked good. But it looked good the sound as well, if that was good.
The sound was good, yeah. He got quite personal between the two of them. I mean, the supercomputer was basically saying, like, you've got lucky, you aren't a genius. It was dark.
Very sassy computer.
Yeah, very sassy. Certainly had a mind of its own. And it was a bit bleak, obviously, when all his close relationships are kind of crumbling apart because of his isolation.
Right, do we need to get into spoiler zone here or what?
Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah, shall we?
Well, I'll give the spoiler warning now and we'll carry on with this conversation. Because I think we've pretty much said how we feel about it now, haven't we?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to do spoilers for Absolute Denial now. So if you care about that, then skip ahead. I will put in the description when the spoilers will end. 3, 2, 1, skip. That's the thing about this film is like we talk about shit like that. Like, okay, where do you get the money? But from what we're shown, we don't actually know what's real and what's not, do we?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. It kind of...
Might have to cut that and move it into a spoiler talk if we do one.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, maybe. It's not too spoilery, but yeah.
I don't think I would want to go into this film knowing that there's a chance that there are things in this that are not real that we don't know.
Actually, yeah, better move it.
Yeah. Sorry, Jack, you were saying...
Yeah, just saying that... it is quite a dark film, not just in terms of seeing what is possible and how much power, these types of computers could have over us one day, or I don't know, or if things go wrong, but also just the human aspect, like forget the supercomputer, he's isolated himself away from his best friend, from his girlfriend. He's got kicked off his own course.
So
it's quite bleak.
I say again, but we had to move this around, so I don't know how the editing will work with this. But
again,
we don't know what's real and what's not. So I struggle with sort of thinking. I guess you have to assume that that is how it went anyway. He sort of alienated himself like that. But I mean, I don't know. Am I crazy here, or is there is there an insinuation that maybe that stuff wasn't real either? Or
which stuff?
I guess the alienation from his friends and family and shit, because there was something to the fact that when we find out that we're sort of in the computer's mind here and that nothing we've seen has been real, at least this time round, and it's all a calculation or whatever. He sort of starts to realize that he never saw anyone's face, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So now I'm trying to figure like. So how much of this is actually something that's even true or has even happened? But I guess it must be sort of true for it to be part of the calculation of how he's going to break the absolute denial code or whatever.
Yeah. It's a good point. I didn't really think about that too much. I didn't really even consider that, but it's a really good idea, and it's a good theory.
Well, I think maybe I'm babbling a bit about it and maybe going a bit too far into it.
Possibly, but I don't know. I wouldn't maybe say that. It's definitely possible. I quite like that idea, but actually, I think that's quite a cool idea. I think I wasn't sure about when the computer took that sort of human figure floating foot, like, you know, when it kind of, I mean, I'm sure that was in his imagination, obviously, or whatever. He was just going crazy. But I don't know, when it sort of became a person almost and sort of jumped out, I just didn't really think it needed to do that.
I'm not sure what you're talking about. I don't remember what you're referring to.
Do you remember that towards the end, the supercomputer Al appeared as like this shadowy figure?
Did it? Oh, yes, sorry, yeah. Yeah, I do remember that.
It's on the poster there, can you see?
Yeah, I do remember that. Although I don't really remember a lot around it, so I'm not sure how to...
Query.
It's been like a week now, but...
yeah. No, I don't either, to be honest. Like, but
also, when it got towards the end, a lot happened very quickly, so yes, it's tough to remember a lot of it.
I'm the same, actually. It's there are bits that I've forgotten, but... And I was just saying, I quite liked it when it was literally just the screen and...
Yeah.
It was almost more sinister when it wasn't visible as any form.
Mm-hmm.
And it was more in his head. It's interesting, actually. I'd like to see. I've not since seeing it, I've not read anything. I've not seen what other people take from it. So
no, I haven't either.
But it would kind of make a bit of sense if he's, you know, he's going a bit mad and he's sleep deprived and shit.
Yeah, that's the other thing about it. It's like, I mean, again, I'm sort of going off a bit on it now, and maybe could do with seeing it a few more times before I can really solidify this theory, if it's even a theory worth having. But I guess
you could have asked him.
But I guess
it's a shame we didn't get to that Q&A. It would have been nice to ask him this question.
But like, because of all the talk of madness in it, is there then a possibility that none of this happened and he just is insane and it's not
well,
in the
he
computer,
didn't even...
and it's and so we're not in the computer's head, but we're in his head and he's going crazy. Again, I don't think that's the case, but
yeah, it's hard to know.
Something to think about, maybe.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to be said for the fact that there's something not. I think it's one or the other. I think it's not as clear as it's painted.
I mean, as I think about it now, it's sort of insinuated at the end of the film that the loop did not begin at the beginning of the film as we knew it, but the loop sort of began at some point where he has a massive headache or something and he screams.
Oh, yeah. I've forgotten all about that headache thing.
It went back to that loop, to that moment at the end of the film and sort of played it out again until a certain point. And then he talked about his madness and the moment of clarity or something, then looked at the camera.
Oh, that was like the final line. It repeated that line, didn't it?
Yeah.
At the point of madness, because his retort to the computer was like, yeah, but even at the moment of madness, I'm fine with that because I know I'll have this moment of absolute clarity.
Yeah.
I'd forgotten all about the headache, actually. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, I think there's more. I think there's more to this actually than meets the eye.
I think there's a lot to it that I would very much like to find out on multiple watches. Because yeah, I there's definitely more to it than I'm seeing.
Or
at least I saw on the first watch. Yeah, I can definitely see myself watching this several more times.
Because
the time just flew by when I was watching it, or when we were watching it.
Yeah, it did go quick. And you're right. A lot happened in a short period towards the end. It was quite, you know, the pacing was fairly regular. It was almost, no, not slow paced, but it was easy to sort of follow and things were happening ABC. Mm-hmm. And then And then quite quickly, I guess, similar to what's happening to him, you know, it descends into madness.
Yeah.
And,
but I wouldn't say it was slow-paced at all. In fact,
No, not slow.
I was really glad with how it threw you in at the beginning of the film.
Yeah, it got going. It didn't sort of, you know, there could have been an extra half an hour talking about who he is, and it could have gone into a bit more of that, but it didn't need to. And I'm very glad it didn't. But the fact that we're A, like a week apart, and B, a lot of the key stuff happened in about a 10-minute period. I'm just struggling to like tie things up in my own head, but
yeah.
No, you're onto something. You definitely are. And a rewatch is vital, I think.
Definitely.
At some point.
Cool film. Really cool film. I enjoyed it a lot.
It was really cool. And I really liked the music over the end credits. It was quite a cool, like, I don't know if you remember it, but it was like,
don't remember it very well.
It was just like this cool sort of electronic type song, and then the font that was being used was kind of cool, and it had a very cool vibe to it, even though it is, you know, like we said at the start, it's, you could call it a bit of a like nerdy type subject matter. But it felt cool, and it felt fresh, it felt unique, it felt all those things. So yeah, this is one I'd recommend, and I'd love to see it again.
Do you think it took a bit of time to grow on you? Because when we came out, maybe I got you a bit wrong here, but I thought maybe you weren't feeling as up about it as I was.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Actually, yeah, I came out and I was a little bit. I knew I'd liked it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Actually, I don't know why I was a bit reserved initially, and even now I'm still. Even though I really enjoyed it and it was really cool. I mean, we'll go on to ratings shortly, but.
Well, like you say, it could be like the overwhelming nature of the end of the film, I suppose.
Yeah, a lot happened at the end, and then it's like credits, and then you've got to sort of.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of time to process it, but I'm still getting a little vibe that you enjoyed it slightly more.
Okay.
But no, I definitely enjoyed it, you know. I wouldn't call it middle of the road. I think that's harsh. It's better than that. Also, just how unique it was, like we've said, you know, an independent animation, really, really well made, talented folk behind it. And the sound design was really impressive.
Yeah.
So on the whole, definitely a winner for me.
Cool. Nice.
I'm glad we chose it.
Yeah, I am as well. Are you ready to move on to favourite scenes?
Yeah. It's weird. It was kind of like one big scene.
Yeah.
I'll probably say the montage. I know the beginning montage. I know it's kind of like.
No, I was thinking of that as well. Honestly, it was. It's
kind of like a straightforward.
Very much got the blood pumping.
I thought you were going to go with the food scene.
That's another one I'm thinking of as well. If you go for the opening montage, I'll have to go with the. In his hand.
Yeah. I'll take the montage.
Okay. Ham eating scene for me. God, I just wanted to chow down on that ham so much.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, that's the end of spoiler talk for Absolute Denial, so you can listen now without fear. What are you going to give this film out of 10, JC?
Oh, this is the key question.
This is the question everyone wants to know the answer to.
I'm thinking 6.5 or 7.
Okay.
I'll go with a 7. I think it deserves a 7. I think it was... I mean, I keep saying it, but even if you just forget about the story, really well-made film. Very, very impressed. But obviously you can't forget the story, and the story was interesting. It was dark. It was... quite realistic, I guess, in a lot of ways, because, you know, this sort of stuff can be created. And it was interesting. It posed a few interesting questions. So, you know, I think all being said, I think a 7 is earned. It's well earned. I think 6.5 is perhaps a little harsh. So I'll say 7.
Yeah. I was thinking of going to at least a 7.5. Having a big debate in my head of whether to be generous and go 8 straight off the bat. But I feel like I've been more reserved in my ratings, so I think maybe I should stick to that, as I have been doing.
Mm. It's one that would almost certainly go up, wouldn't it, on a rewatch?
Maybe. I think maybe I need a second watch to really solidify how I feel about it. Yeah, I don't want to go too high too early because I feel like I'm all hepped up right now.
You're hepped up on ham.
Yeah, I'm hepped up on ham, and I'm really wanting to give this an 8, but I think I will stay reserved and go for a 7.5. Could well move up to an 8 in future, but I'll stick with that for now. Very much enjoyed, and cool film.
Yeah, really cool, really unique, and we'll remember them. No, but I just mean, like, there are certain films that obviously stick in the memory more than others, and I think this is definitely one of them, just because of how unique it is.
Yeah, at the time I was thinking this was the best film that we had seen so far.
Once we finished this, before we saw the next one.
Yes. And I did enjoy Chung Baru, but I certainly did not enjoy Krat, but I was feeling good after this one.
Yeah, me too. I'm still having a debate in my head of which, and I think we should do this at the end maybe, because we did it, I think we've done it, we definitely did it in year one. Not sure if we did it last year.
Year one. Okay.
But we ranked everything that we'd seen.
Oh, okay. Nice. Oh, we should do lists on Letterboxd to that effect.
Yeah, yeah. So maybe we'll do that at the end, but yeah, in my head I've got an idea, but I'm debating between Tiong Bahru and this over which I preferred. Okay. I've got a fairly clear idea, but let's do that at the end.
Okay. Right. Well, do you want to get straight into our second and final film review of Lift 2021?
I think we should.
I said second and final, but I sort of mixed up what I was saying there. It was the second of this episode, but it was not the second film we are doing.
Yeah, with, the fourth and final.
Yes, thank you, Jack. Much more appropriate. You're much better at this than me. The final film that we are viewing is Hope. I will not show a clip because it is not in English, and that is the executive decision I'm making about this podcast from now on. No more foreign clips. Decision made. I'm sorry to the rest of
the listeners,
members.
The listeners know my thoughts on this, but okay.
Yeah. Right. Let's get straight into it then. Hope is directed by, Maria Soldal. How do you say the letter in Swedish, or is this a Swedish film? No.
Yeah, I was
Norwegian.
Yes, it's Norwegian, I think. Yeah, Norwegian. Yeah.
Same shit, really, isn't it? But yes, yeah, so I was confused about that because it stars Stellan Skarsgård, as I'm about to say. And he is Swedish.
Yeah, yeah.
That confused me. But they're the same people. So anyway, how do you say that O with a line through it?
Yeah, that's a really good question, and I'm not sure.
Okay, well, Hope is directed by Maria Soldal, and it stars Andrea Brain Hovig, Stellan Skarsgård, Ellie Rhiannon Muller Osborne, Joannes Jonah, and
Johan,
and Eirik Hallett. It's not Irish. The synopsis is, a couple with a large blended family has grown apart. When the wife is diagnosed with terminal brain cancer, spoiler, their life breaks down and exposes neglected love. Jack, please, for the love of God, tell me what you thought of Hope.
Well, this one was, amazing. There's many words I could use.
Mm.
It was absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Mainly, on lots of different levels, but the thing that stands out is the performances for me. You could tell this had the biggest budget of all four films. The production value was clearly much higher.
True.
Um, And you would expect that with a film including a star name like Stellan Skarsgård.
Yeah.
But it really was. I mean, the acting was fantastic. Absolutely the best performance I've seen from him. I don't know if it probably does help that he's speaking in his native tongue.
I was not speaking in Norwegian.
Oh, yeah. Wait.
I have no idea.
Is it the same? It might be the same.
I have no idea.
Because he is Swedish, but...
I think we should move on because I'm getting sweaty just talking about this. It's
To be fair, on details...
I don't like this amount of my ignorance to ever be on show.
I know, yeah. Under languages, it says Norwegian and Swedish. So I don't know.
So he was speaking in Swedish and everyone else was speaking in Norwegian.
Yeah, obviously that wasn't the case, but I don't know what... Anyway, performance is incredible. Clearly a very bleak, quite sad, emotional story about a family coming to terms with some tragic news. And obviously there's more to it than just the news of her diagnosis. As briefly mentioned there in the synopsis, it looks at their relationship, which is struggling at times. Other times they look like they're, you know, very much in love, and other times it's quite a cold relationship, particularly.
It's almost like they don't even know how they feel sometimes.
Yeah, which
honestly feels really real to me.
Yeah, and that was part of the magic of it. And particularly from her perspective towards him. I mean, both ways as well, but she was really quite conflicted about the whole thing. It was a roller coaster of emotions. And even though it is a very sad and quite bleak story, at the end of the day, you know, it's called Hope for a reason. And that definitely came across. You know, there was genuine hope there. And something else which I loved was the family dynamics. It felt like such a real family. Totally believable. And I was just with it all the way. I mean, it was the longest film of the four that we saw. But for me, I don't know about you, it kind of flew by. I didn't really want it to end. I wanted to follow this story through. I wanted to sort of see where it went. I've obviously, it may have been a sad ending, but we're not sure. Oh, fuck. Forget that. We'll talk about that in spoilers.
Okay.
But yeah, my overall thoughts before we get into it properly is just how much I loved it. Performance-wise, direction, brilliant. So yeah, this was... I don't know if surprise is the right word, but I didn't know anything about it. All I'd seen is the trailer. And it swept me off my feet, really. It was a brilliant, brilliant film. What did you think?
I agree. I loved this film. I was very emotionally invested in it. And I'd say maybe I was a bit skeptical going in, mainly because the description of it sounds like a bit of an easy tearjerker, a bit of Oscar bait, maybe.
A bit baity, yeah.
Yeah. So I kind of go in thinking, okay, cancer, yeah, I sort of get what this is going to be. But it did take me by surprise. It wasn't what I expected at all. And yeah, the realism throughout the characters was very genuine.
The script was fantastic. I mean,
yeah.
You know, all of their interactions, and obviously the performances are crucial, but, you know, probably even more of a factor in terms of making it feel like a believable family is the script, isn't it? Because we all have families. We all know how we talk to them, especially at big events like Christmas, which this film was set at. Those dynamics, it must be pretty hard to pull off because it is such a relatable time of year, such a relatable, you know, event that we all have been through pretty much every year of our lives.
Are you talking about Christmas or cancer?
No, Christmas.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm saying that I'm, yeah, I'm rambling, but I'm just saying the script was hugely important in making it feel so believable. And you know, they just had, even a lot of the time they would talk about nothing in particular. It would just be, you know, what did you do today? Or there was that really nice scene where they were sat staying up waiting for the 16-year-old to come home from a night out.
Mm-hmm.
And she gets home and she's clearly had a bit to drink and she's like stumbling around a bit. And it was just very, very.
Yeah. Whoa. And you know what is nice about that is that you expect them. Well, I don't know if you expect them really, but in another film, you know, we've seen that scene a lot, haven't we?
Oh, yeah.
Teenager comes home from party or drinking or whatever, and you know, turns into a big dramatic
argument
fight thing. Yeah. Whereas they've reacted much more like normal people in this film.
Yeah,
to that, and they're just sort of like, hey, yeah, okay,
yeah, exactly. And I quite like the structure. I liked sort of, I don't know if chapters is the right word, but they had sort of Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, New Year's Eve.
Yeah, I liked that. I liked that split up of I guess chapters.
I mean, it sounds
sections, I mean, or whatever.
I mean, just saying it now, it doesn't sound like that would have, you know, a big impact on my enjoyment, but it did. Like it paced it very nicely. And just the way it didn't do anything spectacular. It was just almost showing us their daily routines, wasn't it?
But it wasn't really their daily routines, because it was so close to Christmas is the thing about it as well. It's not like just like December or whatever. It's like, I think it started on Christmas, the day before Christmas Eve, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I think having that reminder as well, that of what day these things are happening, you know, it comes up and it says Christmas Eve and you're like, oh yeah, fuck. It's Christmas Eve. This is what they're doing on Christmas Eve. This is how they're spending it and what they're worrying about. And I think, as well as it's nice to have that split up of the sections. And also there's something nice about it's being split up in those sections. And even though it's just like one day later every single time, usually you'd expect it like to be a month later or something like that. But there was something nice about the fact that it was just like, okay, the next day, here's the next section.
Yeah.
Sometimes it was a couple of days, but even so, just having that reminder of, oh shit, now we're on Christmas Eve. And I don't know about you, but it just makes me think of what I would normally be doing on Christmas Eve. And I think that was quite effective.
Yeah, completely agree. It brings it home. And you're right. It's crazy how quickly even though it's reminding you every sort of half an hour or so, it's crazy how quickly that goes out the window because of the situation they're in. You know, they're leaping from consultation to consultation. They've got this huge concern that they have to keep secret for a long time. And we also learn that, you know, the previous Christmas, she'd just recovered from another serious illness.
Yeah, that was a nice touch.
So they've only
It wasn't another illness. It was the same things. It was the lung cancer that has now spread to be a tumor in the brain or whatever.
Yeah, but the family believe that, well, because she was told by the doctors that she was through it, and you know they were obviously incredibly relieved and happy, and they were able to sort of have this celebratory Christmas the year before, and here we are next Christmas, and it's like, shit, we have to break this news. And you're right, like, yeah, you did forget almost, you just forgot about the, you know, it was only at those moments of seeing the title card that you were like, oh shit, yeah, like, this is when this is all happening. And
you get that title card of the day before Christmas Eve or whatever. I think they had a name for it. And then, you know, you're seeing them at these consultations at night, and I'm thinking, yeah, I'm at the taps with Liggett's lads right now. Sipping on a nice drink.
Exactly. Yeah. And also it was her, her birthday is New Year's Eve.
Yes, that's right. No, or was it New Year's Day? I'm not sure. One of them.
Oh yeah, it was New Year's Day.
Yeah.
So you got all this going on, and it's like, you know, she's obviously, she wants to be brave, and she doesn't want to, you know, spend any time in hospitals. She wants to just basically be a mum and just do normal things. And she wants to host, dinner parties. She wants to be able to do all this stuff. Meanwhile, she's in absolute agony. She's not sleeping at all.
Yeah. She can't read.
She can't read. You know, she's severely just, you know, completely out of it, really, in many ways. But she's putting up this brave face. And
yeah, I think it's I think it'd be appropriate,
really admirable.
I think it'd be appropriate to say now that the performance from Andrea, I assume it's Andrea, Hovig, was one of the best performances I've seen in some time. I think.
Completely agree. Yeah. And whilst everyone in this film was fantastic, she still stood out. She still stood out.
By a country mile. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm even getting goosebumps thinking about some of the scenes right now.
Oh, yeah.
But she was absolutely sublime.
It was sublime. And she did stand out. And that's not saying anything about Stellan or anyone else. They were all fantastic as well.
Yeah.
But she did manage to stand out because of how incredible she was and the range of emotions she was able to portray incredibly well. There was that scene where I can't say that.
No.
That's a spoiler. But yes, it's definitely worth singling her out because, clearly we've not seen her before. We might never see her again. I hope we do. But she was superb. I mean, I know we joked about before Oscar Beatty, but I know she won't because it's a foreign language film, but if she was to go and win an Oscar, I'd be like, yep, well deserved.
Well, I think it's insane for her to not really get an Oscar for that performance, I think.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
But I don't think that would happen. I don't know. I have no idea, like, if this film is going to be sort of given a wide release soon or if it's going to be like marketed as something, because it's hard to tell because Stellan Skarsgård is in it. But even so, with it being a foreign language film, I don't really know what's going to happen with it, or if we would even have heard of it without Liff. It's hard to say right now. I hadn't heard of it before. I don't know about you.
I'd only heard of it through the trailer, which I saw, you know, 2 or 3 weeks before Liff.
Okay, so there is a chance then that it's you know.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I don't know actually if it... I mean, according to Letterboxd, it's a 2019 release.
Right.
So I assume that's when it was released, you know, in Scandinavia or something. So whether it even qualifies for awards season probably doesn't.
I don't know how that works.
No, I don't. Actually, it might do if it gets a theatrical release, let's say, you know, this year, maybe it gets a re-release. I don't know if that counts.
Yeah, I don't know.
But no, she was outstanding. But also, just whilst we're talking about Stellan as well, as a couple, they were, it was so raw, wasn't it? Every conversation they had was, I just could not take my eyes off the screen. I was so into every conversation. Mm. You know, I was just hanging off every word.
Yeah, you know what's interesting about this is in a lot of films, there's a lot of talk of chemistry. Actors needing to have chemistry when they're playing, you know, opposite each other.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to see how these two are sort of not really supposed to be in that area, are they?
Yeah. That's yeah.
But I don't know, whatever it is, whatever amount of chemistry or lack of chemistry they're supposed to have, they pulled it off brilliantly.
Yeah, they really did.
I think they played it off really well. And Stellan did a very good job. And even though a lot of his character was quiet, quiet and not knowing what to say, and and just sort of
feeling unwanted,
not knowing how to feel. I think came across so well from him.
He said so much by saying nothing in a lot of the scenes.
Yeah, I'm like, I have no, I'm like, I have no idea what he's supposed to feel at this point. Thinking about everything, but
and there were moments where obviously he doesn't want to sort of show any. I think he's okay with showing some emotion, but he wants to, you know, stay strong almost. And he has private moments occasionally where he's on his own, and then we see it come out. But yeah, I'd like to know more about maybe the production and how, whether it was just natural or whether they rehearsed a lot or whether they've worked together before. You know, I mean, maybe it's just natural. I mean, I guess some actors have that natural connection, or I don't know, but it was very, very good.
Yeah.
And obviously I've mentioned at the start, and you know, and just the, you know, you don't have to watch the film, you know, just by reading the synopsis that it's obviously quite a bleak and sad subject. But not just when I say that, I'm not just talking about the diagnosis and the cancer. He is like, I felt really bad for him, because there are times when he's doing everything he can to support her through it, and she's telling him how much, like, she wishes she'd left him, and he kind of just has to take it. Like, he doesn't really,
yeah,
you know, he, and it's an interesting relationship as well, because you've got the added dynamic of he's had children with a previous wife or relationship. So she has taken on board the elder children. You know, they must be about 30, or one of them is anyway. So you've got that relationship, and that's mentioned, you know.
You have said a few times, you know, that it's very bleak plot, which, you know, obviously you only need to read it to know that. But I do think that we should make it clear, at least for me, that it didn't like feel really bleak throughout it.
Yeah, that's a good point. We need to make that clear. Yeah,
it honestly, I felt good throughout it. I don't know if it's just like the Christmas elements to it that were nice to see or whatever, but it had a lot of nice moments as well. And it just didn't have that kind of bleak, oh God, we've got a lot of like depression coming sort of feel to it throughout the whole thing.
Yeah, no, I felt exactly the same. Yeah, I'm glad you said that, because we should make that clear, because, you know, it's understandable if some people may be put off simply by that synopsis, and they might think, oh no, don't fancy that.
Mm.
But no, it didn't feel like a heavy film. Not at all.
No.
I think that was helped as well by the production design, the direction. A lot of it was quite colourful.
I'd agree with that.
You know, you had the family home, which was bright and full of children playing.
Mm-hmm.
You had families doing random family stuff, like the pile-on was a great scene.
I thought Stellan was going to get crushed to death in that fucking scene. Christ.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not a surprise it used to be, is he? Hellfire.
Yeah, he was carrying the weight of about 10, well, not 10, about 6 or 7 people.
Yeah, it was a lot of people.
So I'd actually say there were probably more scenes.
How many takes did they have to do with that scene? Christ.
I bet he hoped only one.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are actually probably more scenes of happiness. Also, I think what helps it have that lighter feel and not weigh it down is her reaction to the news as a character. Like, she's determined not to, you know, give up and not to let it ruin Christmas.
Yes, that's right. There is a determination for everyone to have a nice Christmas.
Her outlook and is really positive.
That helps with the determination for everyone to have a nice time enjoying the film.
Yeah. No, that's actually a very important point to be made. Yeah, don't let it put you off.
No, it's just an emotional trip, honestly. It's just
there's lots of ups.
Just enjoyable and gives you goosebumps.
Yeah, I think, I can still remember lots of scenes. And you're right, yeah. It gives me goosebumps. And thinking about some of the moments now, it's like, wow, you know, it really did hit us in the feels. And I'd love to, yeah. I know we say it for a lot of films, but again, maybe not super soon, but I would love to watch it again. I really would.
Yeah, man. It's a great Christmas film. I'll be watching it every Christmas Eve.
Stick it on Christmas Eve or New Year's Eve.
Yeah, man.
But yeah, I don't know if we need to do spoilers, to be fair. I mean, maybe you want to.
No, I'm happy to leave it if you are. I think we've pretty much covered like the basis of how I feel about it and how I think people should go out and watch this one as soon as possible.
Yeah, if you can track it down, definitely do. It's very worth your time.
It's maybe a bit long for Pepster, but I still think he'll like it. And Woody will love this one.
I think, again, we said it with absolute denial. I know very different films, but again, I think Pepster and Woody would really, really enjoy it.
Yeah, I think more so with this one.
Yeah, more so with this one, yeah. But yeah, I think we've said pretty much everything there.
Yeah. All right. Well, what's your favorite scene, Jack?
This is tough. There's so many great scenes here.
Yeah.
It's
going to be tough to do this without being spoilery also, so do it in code if you need to.
Yeah, okay. I mean, jump in if you've got one. I'm just trying to think.
Yeah. Some of the Christmassy sort of elements were really good. But I guess for the sake of something, I think there's a very big emotional moment that we both mentioned with Andrea's performance. Probably the highlight. I think you probably know which one I'm talking about. Yes, Steve?
Is it the one I alluded to earlier?
It is, yes.
Yeah.
So I think that one has to kind of at least be mentioned because that gave me the most amount of goosebumps and just I was right there with her.
Yeah, you felt every word.
Yeah.
Yeah, you felt every word. It was incredibly powerful. And we won't say any more, but yeah.
But I think actually something we didn't really said much on, a lot of the consultations with doctors were all great. They really felt fresh and the doctors all had their own sort of personalities, which was great.
Yeah, they weren't cliche doctors at all, were they?
No.
They were all different. They all brought something to the table. Some of them were very warm. Some of them were very...
Less so.
Yeah. Yeah, some of them didn't really have the time of day. And I'm glad you've mentioned that because that was something we mentioned straight away after seeing it, wasn't it?
Yeah.
All the different consultations, none of them felt, you know, there wasn't one where I was like, oh, another one, like, we get it. Like, you know, it was, I think it had to be in there and they all were brilliant. So, yeah. Okay. I don't know what I'm going to go for here. I'll tell you what, I might go for that scene we've mentioned where the daughter comes home and they're waiting up for her.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I mean, there are so many, honestly.
It's more difficult to do the favourite scenes when we have to be careful about spoilers, but yeah.
Yeah, I think, I mean, there are a lot to choose from. Some joyful, some more emotional, but they're all great.
Yeah.
But I'll go for that one because it kind of sums up the film in terms of it just felt extremely real. And it was, whatever, yeah, I'm losing my mind here.
Yeah, that's all right. Well, I'll break in here and
save me.
Shut the fuck up. Yeah, those were our favorite scenes.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah, go and see it if you can.
Yeah. What are you going to give it out of 10, though, Jack?
I'm going to give it, you know, a very high rating. I think it deserves it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give it a 10.
Okay.
I think I'll go with a 9.
That's exactly what I'm going to give it as well.
Yeah.
Nine job on that one.
Yeah, excellent.
Yeah, wasn't expecting it, honestly. I wasn't expecting to love it as much as that.
Yeah, I loved how it kind of came out of the blue a little bit.
Like System Crasher.
Yeah, great comparison, yeah. Shall we do a quick ranking then of our...
Yes.
I mean, they'll be pretty similar, I guess, but I think it's just what comes second and what comes third that will differ.
Yeah, pretty much.
Or maybe not, I don't know.
Okay, well, have you got yours?
Yeah, so I think we both can say that our least favourite of the four was Krat or Krat. Yeah.
Or Crap.
Or Crap. And then this is where it gets interesting. So I'll go first.
In third,
I'm going to... Okay, yeah.
Okay.
Our third place film.
Three, two, one.
Sorry, you go. You can't.
I think we're delayed. Three.
I think we are delayed. This is not going to work over there.
Okay. Three, two, one. Tiong Bahru
Absolute
Social Club.
Absolute denial.
Unbelievable.
It's close.
Okay.
Wait, can I just check? Was there a big delay when I said it then?
There was a bit of a delay, but I think because Tiong Bahru is such a long title, managed to get away with it.
Yeah, for me it was bang on, but anyway. Yeah, I mean, it's a tough one. I enjoyed them both a lot. I think what edges Tiong Bahru for me is the comedy. I know it was a bit of dark humour, but I really enjoyed it. I thought it was silly, but not in a shit way, like silly, funny, that type of comedy, which is hard to get right. Can be a bit cringy.
Okay. What did you give Absolute Denial? 7?
I gave Absolute Denial... Oh, shit. Are you going to... Oh,
did you give it a 7? Did you give it a 7.5?
Oh, fuck. I think I may have given Tiong Bahru 6.5.
I think you've fucked yourself here.
Okay, so the rating... Oh, bollocks. Well, forget that for a second.
Yeah.
Because I think you're right. I think I've given... Absolute Denial half a mark better, but I'm going to stick with my ranking, which makes no sense, but I'm just going off what I remember the film to be. And okay. It's very close. I love them both, but I'm going to give the edge to the Singapore film.
Okay. Cool. Well, that's that then. That's the end of our LIFF 2021 specials.
Yes.
We'll come back next year when hopefully we'll have LIFF 2022.
Definitely. Yeah, I really want to keep doing it. It's becoming a tradition now. That's our third year.
Yeah. It's like our replacement for the Filed Film Society.
It is actually, yeah.
That we went to back in the day.
Yeah, because it's that type of world cinema, isn't it?
Mm.
I would love to come back next year if you'll have me.
Of course, I'll have you. I'll have you any day of the week. Yeah, have you got any anything else you want to talk about in this episode, or do you want to save our other watches for the next episode?
Episode 180.
I
think we should leave it. Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Because we're gonna have a full gang, aren't we, on Thursday night? So let's save it.
Okay. Well, in that case, I guess I'll just move on to say that you can email us at filmnight@yahoo.co.uk if you want. Please follow us on Twitter @filmnight_ and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or any other podcatcher that you found us on. Other than that, unless you've got anything else you'd like to say, Jack?
Nothing at all.
Then I guess I'll say it's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from me.